Watson Hall presents.
The Perishing of Sir Ashby Phipps. With Jimin Beg as the Game Master.
Well, you... Is there anything that... I cannot remember your name, Mark. Captain.
The captain. Captain Michael Newman, or the Captain.
Yeah.
So the Captain, I think, shall have arrived today, because he was running a little bit behind. Because
so much for military time, eh?
Well, no, a little bit of trouble at the regiment, bit of the old discipline, I'm afraid.
Yeah, you show up at Ancaster Station and probably secure a dog carts, hansom or some kind.
It might not be a hansom because the hansoms are pretty London centric, aren't they?
Some sort of cab.
Yeah, dog cart sounds.
Yeah.
It's a small place.
Pony and trap type.
Yeah.
With the fringe on top.
Yes. You are brought to Ladywell Hall, which looks like the file called Image Ladywell Hall, if you are curious. Or Belton House, if you've seen it, because it's Belton House. And you will be shown into the drawing room. There's, you know, flowers, candles, veiled mirrors. Piano.
Let me go back on that.
Captain. The others are waiting in the drawing room here.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah, excellent.
Colonel Mustard, we've been expecting you. Kefir pipe.
Heard there's been a bit of a rum show. So my condolences to the family.
Thank you, Captain. I'm sure Lady Phipps will be very grateful for your assistance. Very upsetting.
Yeah. So let me have a look at the floor plan of Ladywell Hall.
See if there's a secret passage from the kitchen to the study. Or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. If there is nothing any of you immediately wish to do, then...
Well, I think we had a sneak around the room. That
We had to look around the room, but we were waiting for Lady Phipps.
Yep. She came in, didn't she?
Yeah, I'm just allowing the captain a minute.
I don't think we've got anything we need to do in the meantime.
Hello, chaps. How are we doing?
I say a little bit, less.
Oh
less,
yes,
less
yes,
bubbly,
yeah.
Perhaps.
Lady Phipps. My condolences, madam. Your lady. Actually, what is she?
Lady Phipps.
The last bit is an out of game thing.
Yeah, she is Lady Phipps.
She is a lady. So that would be a mom. I feel mom would probably be always a good one from.
Go with mom.
Could you say Lady Phipps?
Your ladyship.
Your ladyship.
I'm pretty certain that Benjamin will get it right, but because he's got 80 in social etiquette. I, however. Have not.
No, well, actually,
come
to be
from
fair,
a long line of coal miners.
Yeah. anybody's listening and interested, we're not live, so it doesn't really matter, but the Aurora is quite good from the UK at this point in time.
Mm. So if any time travellers are listening and would care to nip back to see a really good Aurora.
It's a very nice sunset.
I'm in a cellar, I can't see it.
It's black as coal, though. It looks like there's a huge stone on
my head. It is, really, very, very high. It's, yeah.
It, sounds
it's
good.
Right up in the 200s.
Oh, well. I mean, if it's in the 200s, you can't fail, can you?
Ooh.
Anybody know what that means?
No. it means that that there's a big red line on the graph.
Oh, and that, right. Well, there you go then.
Can't do anything about that, really, can you? No. Nothing to be done.
However, there are things to be done.
Yes,
presumably.
Indeed. Mark, if you go up a bit and go into the NPC picks folder, you'll find a picture of Lady Valeria Phipps, if you are curious.
Okay. Indeed. Let me go into the NPC picks and Lady Valeria Phipps 2.
Colourised by my own fair hand. All of these.
Okay.
If you're wondering why the colours are all weird.
No, actually...
It was just people back then, to be honest.
No,
did a bit of basic colourising on these.
We had a black and white photo which is now actually outside of a building in St. Fagans. There we are.
I like St. Fagans. Yeah, this is... This is Lady Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're...
Can't remember what the...
You are fading in and out like crazy, Shim.
Oh, that's weird
for me.
Can't say I noticed.
Oh, that might just be me. I was getting pausing. Was anybody else getting that?
No, I didn't notice it.
Okay, fine. Mm. Ignore me.
Okay. Hopefully all right. No role is required. She's clearly distraught. She is putting on a brave face. She will, accept your various condolences, greetings, shake hands lightly. Thank you all for coming. Yes, I see Cresswell has brought tea. I've asked you here, you have probably realised to look into poor Ashby's death.
Well, yes, but I confess that from what we have heard, there does not appear to be any irregularity. So, could you perhaps explain to us why the need for investigation?
I find it there is nothing suspicious of or anything of that nature, of course. It would be dreadful, but it does seem rather strange to me. Perhaps it's just my fancy. Certainly, Dr. Weston would tell you so. But I would be. If matters for my friend Elizabeth for one. And I hoped you might be willing to look into things in a...
Absolutely.
Give me some peace of mind.
My lady, that is why we're here.
We're merely looking for anything that might have caused you to consider that things were not of a natural... course, which will give us some direction for our investigation. You see,
she will actually take the picture from the piano and lift the black cloth off it. It's a photo. It's Ashby. It's obviously very recent. Cheerful, extremely. Healthy looking chap, you would say.
How old?
53, specifically. You can tell.
Okay.
Obviously, you can
incredibly
tell.
Incredibly young, then.
It's got a little birth. It's got a little birthday. You know, birthday.
Oh, a whippersnapper.
Yeah. Doesn't you know? He's not a frail looking chap. He seems in decent spirits.
Out of game. How mm-hmm. is? How is he supposed to have died?
You don't know.
We've not been told so far.
Mm-hmm. No, I will gently pose the question. of what happened, if she wouldn't mind telling us.
Of course. They found him in the garden in the evening. I won't say Monday evening. He'd gone out to read in the summer house, as he often did.
Hmm.
Kettering found him.
Kettering is the butler?
The footman.
Footman.
Okay. Yes. Went out to find him and found him in the garden. He had the most dreadful look on his face. And, well, perhaps it will be... The situation in the garden is a little peculiar. There was nothing wrong with him, you see. Very even tempered and healthy. He walked every day, I don't believe there was anything of a medical nature.
So not a man of short temper, not likely to have read something that had driven to apoplexy. Perhaps a heart failure, nothing like that.
That was precisely, that's what they said. They said a seizure and apoplexy, and I found it terribly difficult to accept that. It doesn't seem at all like him. He was a very even-tempered man.
Actually, he'd never died before.
Wouldn't have dreamed! Wouldn't have dreamed of being apoplectic!
It's simply not his way.
Yes.
Right. We should perhaps say, Lady Phipps, you must accept, you must prepare yourself for the possibility that that is, unfortunately, all that there is, that this is a natural thing. But I assure you, we'll go in with a whole team of open minds and leave no stone unturned.
Okay, again, out of game. Have they? Is the body laid out somewhere?
It will be with the, I wouldn't say undertakers, the whatever they're called at this point.
So have they not brought... Because are they... So I can't remember.
So they're not laying out.
Yeah, so it used to be... Mm-hmm. You used to lay out the body at the home to say your last respects and stuff. Which used to give my mother the absolute willies, but that's a whole different story.
It's all right, it's what happened with what we did with my granddad.
That's what we did until probably about 30 years ago, when everyone said, "This is really sick, should we stop doing this stuff?"
Did a doctor attend?
Yes, sorry, I'm flicking through for where information is.
Who laid this thing out anyway? Didn't have the GM in mind.
Some damn fool. But, it's in the Nocton Mortuary. It required a certain degree of attention. And therefore...
I'm going to guess that they didn't really want to lay it out in the house. Out in the house after, especially considering the scream, you know. The look of absolute horror on the face and so on.
Exactly. Thankfully, the weather has been good and. I know very little about these matters, but I understand this is Mr. Poe's work, you know, Monsieur Dupin. It seems to me most important not to disturb anything. I'm sorry, it's probably very silly of me.
That's entirely fictional at this stage. It's not until the 20s in Germany, I think, that anybody stops the police from going in and tidying up the scene so it looks better.
She is an enthusiast for the novels of Mr. Poe.
Ah, absolute tripe. I mean, I won't say that, no.
Any kind of insight role is welcome at this point?
That one isn't.
No, mine is neither.
Wow.
Sorry.
That isn't welcome in any company.
Yeah. Reverend,
I've got a really good insight. Situation. I'm still really straight past it.
Yeah, this is the Reverend Secretary here. Whether it, how much stock she's actually putting in this, maybe a little bit hard to show, but you feel she's latched onto this idea of getting someone else in as a sort of coping mechanism, and you know, having someone sympathetic pursue it to some extent and humour her a bit will probably help her to deal with the grief. I mean, you've she's mentioned this Dr. Weston. You've got some experience of how these things tend to go. Oh well, what a shame. Poor old chap. Never mind. She perhaps has not had very much. Yeah, she perhaps has not had very much support. And of course, her son isn't here. Still off in Italy somewhere.
Right.
Giving her a bit of support and doing what she's asked is probably good for her mental state.
Whatever we end up finding, yes.
Yeah. She doesn't necessarily have a sort of a logical basis for looking into this specifically. Although she seems to think there's something to it.
Do you know, we should probably consider possibilities of inheritance and so on. Because if there is, depending on the relationship with the son or whatever, she might be in danger.
Who else was in the house at the time?
I was, of course, Kettering, Bowen, the cook, whose name I may or may not have written down, Cresdale, the maid who...
Who's Cresdale?
The maid, she brought you tea earlier.
And who's Bowen?
Bowen, the valet. Valet. I should probably be valet.
Make a note of them all.
Yeah.
And I presume nobody heard anything unusual. You seem to suggest that it was a case of the footman going out, perhaps because your husband had been overdue?
No, in fact, Cresdale heard. From what I was told, she was cleaning and cleaning the windows and heard some sort of shout from the gardens and mentioned this to Kettering and he went to investigate and that was when, you know.
Okay. Maybe we should have a chat with her.
Something that you have such attentive staff who do their jobs properly, at least.
They're very... Well, the staff at the moment are really... really quite reliable, yes.
I wonder, may I take a look outside of the summer house?
Yes, certainly.
Thank you.
Should I ask Kettering to show you the scene?
Oh, please.
She will ring a small bell. And
a small man arrives.
Yes, indeed.
about a foot.
Sirs, madam. She will direct him to show you the garden. Would you care to see, sir?
I wonder if you could take me over to the summer house where Sir Ashby was, I believe, on his way to read, and that was a normal activity for him.
Oh yes, on fine days he was very very fond of reading after dinner.
And you found him after he had expired, is that right?
That's right, sir. Yes.
Could you show me where?
Of course. He takes you outside.
I take it we're all traipsing around along after, nice little,
big magnifying glasses waving around to the side.
If you would care to, Actually, what? So, do you want to see the summer house first? Do you want to see where he was found first?
Well, if it's on the way to the summer house, then you know, let's see where he was found. But if it's not, that's sort of interesting in itself.
It is not.
What's the first thing on our route?
I think might be. The summer house.
All right, let's go to the summer closest house. Thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So he will take you out round. And it's quite a big garden.
Curves around a bit,
and there's a garden, a sort of avenue of trees immediately behind the house. Then you've got a sort of bit of small artistic forest stuff with a path going around it. And then there's the summer house with a nice view out over the lawns and everything. And that is the first point of call. Quite a small stone building, looks quite a nice place, quite a good light for reading, it makes sense.
And can you recall what Sir Ashby was reading?
This book here. This scene has, in fact, been disturbed.
Spreckens cool. Sorry, I can't quite read this.
Yeah. So this bit, there's footsteps all around the place. The police have been here looking at this. There's several people have had a look. There is a slightly crumpled copy of Bleak. On the floor, sir, when we found him.
The floor of the summer house. So he didn't have it with him when you found it?
No, I think perhaps dropped.
Yes.
Yeah, and he'll sort of, you know, it's been placed on a table, carefully. Mm.
Just leaf through. Are there any pages dog-eared or any bookmarks or obvious underlinings or anything?
No
heavy underlinings under a bit that proves what an absolute idiot the author is.
There might be a couple of those. There's a few
vile, you know, hack written across the front.
There's a few bits of dog ear where he's clearly marked it as he was going. The Philistine. From the,
it's only, you know, doesn't really matter, does it? Bleak House.
From the slight dirt mark on the pages, it looks like he was reading chapter 45, In Trust.
Chapter 45, which In Trust.
Is not particularly striking in any way that you can immediately see.
Well, that's because it's Dickens.
Hmm. There is also a tray containing a couple of glasses still with some liquid on, both with small.
They've not been cleared away.
They have not. Small things placed over the top. Her ladyship was most insistent, madam.
And there's two glasses.
Yeah. Can I finish? Sorry. Couple of glasses. There's an ashtray, a hat, a pipe. Hat, pipe, and a case for reading glasses.
Mm-hmm. No reading glasses there?
The reading glasses. Not there? Did he rush out still wearing them or holding them?
He was. Still had the glasses with him when we found him. He'd slipped them into a pocket, sir.
Ah, so that would perhaps indicate that he had left in something of a hurry.
Two glasses?
Two glasses. You can have a look, have a sniff if you wish.
Did he normally have two glasses to... You know, I mean, in other words, would there have been a glass brought and then another glass brought, and basically that the reason why, or would it have been that there was somebody else there?
Imaginary friend.
You ask Kettering. The
The gin and tonic Sir Ashby would have brought with him after dinner, sir. The I brought the tray with the lemonade around.
And lemonade, a normal drink that he favoured, was it?
Yes, sir. On
made, I presume, in the house.
Oh yes.
Excellent.
Of course.
Is there anything left in either of the glasses?
Yeah, they're about half full.
I'll sniff them both carefully.
Actually, it's probably only a trace of the G&T, but...
I was going to say.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Turn your back.
It smells like a G&T. You know, it's not obviously anything else. No whiff of prussic acid or anything. Lemonade has that sugary, lemony scent to it. Obviously... Mm-hmm. All manner of things could be slipped into them.
I don't think any of us are chemists, are we?
No.
So we can't really look in that sort of direction. His tobacco pouch, was that upon his person? I don't see it with the...
yes, sir.
And so on. I'm really, going a bit meta... trying to think of ways to introduce a poison that, most poisons of the time, I think, don't, they're very hard to hide and they don't tend to immediately kill you. Mm-hmm. They're usually quite painful, I believe. So, you could hide it in something potentially like a tobacco, depending on how picky a smoker he was.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to know how strong his tobacco is.
Yes, there's his tobacco pouch was also in his pockets, sir, and his watch purse.
Does he have? Is there a jar of the same tobacco still in the house? I presume he just
in his study. Yes, of course.
Amount in his... Right. Would it be possible for you to fetch a small amount of it so that we can? Gauge how strong it was. I take it was a usual blend. Was he a man of fixed habits?
I had two or three that he would alternate between as the mood took him, sir.
Right. Yes, if you could possibly get a small amount that we can just, not sample, but examine. Yes, it was the tobacco!
Certainly, sir.
Does anyone else need to see any more in the summer house?
Are any of you smokers?
Oh,
pipe smokers specifically.
I'd be amazed if I weren't.
It's very, very likely that Benjamin is a pipe smoker. Yes.
I might have moved to these newfangled cigarettes actually, because they're a little bit easier when you're on campaign. But
yeah, well, the Reverend and Benjamin can, you know, with just a glance, really, you can see the ashtray. That's about two, maybe three pipes worth of ash in there.
Out here for a while, then?
He would have come out...
I mean, if he's only got one pipe...
Yeah.
...and he's got two or three pipes worth of ash, he can't have smoked it that fast or it would have overheated.
Ash all look the same, as though it's the same?
It certainly seems fairly consistent. Okay.
So he was on his own.
It would have been.
As far as we can tell.
So, bearing in mind country hours, yeah, country hours. What you haven't asked yet is when anything happened.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know.
No, we haven't.
No, we haven't asked, but we were told it was. He was discovered after.
It was in the evening.
It was in the evening.
He was found.
But obviously, it's long days, so.
Yeah. Would you like to ask?
Well, of course.
Yeah. So, Kettering found him at. It was about 8 o'clock. Cresswell mentioned to him at about 7:30 that he'd heard something, and he thought perhaps, didn't think anything. critical, but he wandered out to see if Sir Aspie had been calling for him and didn't find him, and then had a look around the garden, and well, that was
so
it.
Where was he found in relationship to the summer house? By the summer house or a long way away?
Nope, the opposite side of the garden. Perhaps it would. Perhaps if I were to show you, let me show you across, if that's all right, says ma'am.
Please.
Yeah, and he shows you, and I mean, it doesn't really take a particular. There are sporadic footprints you can see leading off from the summer house, and I mean, you can see he's not Kettering's not taking you on a tracking the route or anything, but you see a few more traces as you go. You see, you know, there's some trampled down vegetation. There's roses damaged over here. And
was that been by the police, or was that prior to?
I believe it was mostly before the police arrived, sir. And in fact, if you would care to look at handout number, I think that's handout number 3. Lady Wellhall grounds.
Mm-hmm.
You will see the gardens, the summer house, Lady Wellhall, and on it, you will see marked in red the approximate route taken by Sir Ashby Phipps after leaving the summer house.
Was the man drunk? What the hell was he doing in the bottom right corner? Hopscotch?
This area, if you go and you can go and examine it more closely later, but you get a sense that the X is where he was found.
Yeah.
The opposite side of the garden, and certainly he seems to have wandered back and forth pretty
How
freely.
How do they know this is the route he took?
Because of footprints and the damage caused to the vegetation as he frumped through it carelessly, apparently.
Starting off walking, perhaps running towards the end.
So he ran through an ornamental pond or fountain or something at one point, so presumably his feet and trouser legs were soaked.
Yes, would you care to...
Well, he can't have been pursued. Surely they'd have heard something more than
Would you like to switch to looking at Sir Ashby's trail?
Certainly.
Okay, let's do that. You have an examine. It's a few minutes walk through the whole route. It's quite a large garden.
Yeah.
Depending, obviously, how fast you're going. It's very erratic. He's not really paying attention to the paths. He's you know, forcing his way through hedges, low hedges, but still trampling on expensive plants. But sometimes he's been wandering along the wall.
Yeah, he's running, gone in one direction and then doubled back on himself several times.
Are the dots roughly sort of footprints? So basically where, so as it expands out, that's where he's running?
That is probably, yeah. Do you have survival or insight? Survival or insight roll?
Does this look like a desert?
Insight roll will be harder. Survival is preferable.
Okay, let's go for... I'll have a go. Okay, it's the wrong sort of survival, but let's have a go.
Yeah, that's no good. 57.
Okay. So I'm very confused where the sand is,
because
I've just rolled 100.
Excellent. This could be any number of people.
I've got a 57 on insight compared to a skill of 70. Is
that'll be fine. Yeah, let's do that. So,
I got 0.5 on insight.
Oh, yeah.
Fine. Take over the whole investigation then. See if I care.
Yeah. Alberto, you know, you just quietly wander on. You sort of cast your eyes out. Yeah, look, yeah, the change in the, you know, which part of the shoe is clearly visible in the print here clearly indicates a shift in, you know, weight from the heel to the ball of the foot. And
Look, the footprints are a bit further apart here. There's a certain amount of skidding. Yeah, so... skidding. Looks like... as one might, if in a hurry, you know, compared with placidly walking along.
Or if a Charlie Chaplin character going around a corner.
You know. Well, yes, indeed. So, yeah, looks like he sort of wandered around the summer house itself a little bit. There's some confusion around the summer house because there's been various people tromping around in big police-issued boots. Then he seems to have gone off on a walk, changed direction when he reached an obstacle.
Is there an obvious obstacle there?
At various points. So at the various points where you see changes in direction, a lot of that seems to be where he's reached some sort of obstacle.
Okay.
But he wouldn't... I mean, he knew the garden, so why would he do that?
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't just walk in a direction towards an obstacle expecting to keep going. So what was he...
Well, why did he think so?
Chasing something that was moving? Water.
Possible.
At the door...
Is his pacing normal, or is he running, or...?
The early parts of it, pacing seems to be fairly normal. And then in the sort of middle of the garden bit, between these big trees, he seems to have sharply changed direction and, you would say, sprinted away.
Chasing something or being chased? Perhaps some sort of hallucination, maybe a drug-induced.
Maybe.
I'll have to smoke a few pipes of his tobacco and see see if I too come to an untimely demise.
Any of you got any medicine?
I was going to say probably not much, but actually zero is the amount I have. So
spot a first aid, but that's it.
Going to go with no.
I'll have first aid here.
Yeah, I've got first aid. Let's have a go.
Oh, failed the first aid anyway.
No, yeah, I've got 50 in first aid. I rolled 62.
I got 10, but I haven't rolled anywhere near that.
Yeah, I mean, you've...
first aid.
Don't worry. You've, I mean,
are you sure? I think we've all got 10% in it.
Okay. Hold on. No, I rolled 65.
No, that's fine. I mean, you're all somewhat familiar with the movements of drunk people, you know, so there's a certain amount of that. Some sort of lack of equilibrium.
So it looks like he was maybe on some form of intoxicants.
So, somehow disturbed, at least.
Gin, sure.
Yeah.
Nobody mentioned that he got, you know, a bit trolleyed at dinner, so...
Mm.
While he may have had some drinks, you'd have thought they might have mentioned... if he'd had quite a lot, because that could have contributed towards something like a heart attack. I suppose we should double check, but even so, that doesn't sound...
It's
sounding a bit more like a drug or a toxin of some sort.
Yeah, I wonder if something was inadvertently... I don't know.
I mean, did he take laudanum?
Not any time recently, sir. A few years ago for a minor ailment.
One hesitates to ask, but did he ever smoke either opium or hashish?
Not as far as I'm aware, sir.
No, I mean, it was purely just the... the very interest...
Quite understand. So many gentlemen have some unusual proclivities.
Mm. Purely just the hope that there was still some lying around.
No. He's a very sober, very sober sort of chap. sort of gentleman, sir.
Yes. Sort of very, chap. So, very out of character to act... in this way, but things started perfectly normally. So he went out apparently in normal spirits. Seemed to be mentioned so, otherwise. Yes. Took a book with him, so presumably intended to go and wasn't perhaps feeling unwell or
would
something.
He
in which
normally...
case.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. I do apologise, Benjamin. You carry on, sir.
No, I was just going to say, Lady Phipps did say it was a normal thing, didn't it, of an evening, that he liked to go and read in the summer house.
Did
oh,
he,
yes, sir.
Did he normally go for long walks after reading, or would he have normally come straight back to the...
Well, he might stroll around the garden, sir.
Again, out of game, looking at it, it looks like he's basically just gone for a bit of a meander around. And it's almost, is he looking at things to start with and then almost really when he gets to the around where it says Italian gardens that he seems to be a little bit more.
I think it's before
centric.
That. Have a look in the top left section just below the curve. Look what he's walking through beds there, isn't he?
He's walked through a hedge, or through some small trees and shrubs.
Well, I mean, that seems unusual. Yes. He started off, he's gone through an area that, yes, he could perhaps have walked there as a shortcut. But once he gets to the formal garden area on the left, rather than the ones that are actually labelled formal gardens, then he seems to be really cutting through. Why would he do that?
Well, yes, because as you say, so as he cuts through that wooded bit on the left of that area, Shim. I mean, again, is there an actual path there?
Or there is not.
Right, so that's basically where he's suddenly strayed away from a normal walk would be.
Look at the summer house.
He starts off on the path, but almost immediately doubles back off the path through the trees. And if you think where he ended up, he certainly wasn't aiming for that, because if it was, he'd have left the summer house as he did, continued, and then just gone down and across, and he'd have covered a third of the distance.
It looks much more like chasing phantasms.
Or being chased by them, yeah.
Yeah. Is there anybody...
Was he perhaps trying to see help at the Porter's Lodge and then gave up on the idea?
Well, that was my question. Is there anybody at the Porter's Lodge who could basically shed some light on whether he actually sort of went in, or maybe they heard him?
The Porter did not mention hearing anything, sir.
Could we possibly...
Oh, of course, sir.
Now he's found. Is that up against a hedge with a wall, perhaps?
Yeah. So
almost cornered.
Yeah. So he is in the Talgon, up against the wall. Kettering will sort of glance towards Alberta and up at the rest of you.
Was he?
Speak up, man.
Was he relieving himself?
I.
Or was he?
He clearly stops himself from saying not advertently, sir. Sir Ashby was. Sort of backed against the wall, sir. As though he might have been trying to put an arm up to
fending off an attacker or something frightening, perhaps that
something
sort
of that,
pose,
something of that kind, sir.
So perhaps not pursuing,
and
that,
there was
he...
the most terrible expression on his face, sir. It's very very distressing.
Was his clothing awry in any way?
Yes, Mum. It was pulled about and torn.
As though he'd run through several hedges, etc.
It was rather scratched about on the hands and face. But yeah.
Do you? Where are the clothes that he was wearing?
I put those. They are. They will. They will either be with the Undertakers or.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'd like to see them, please.
Before we go back into the into the hall, say, could we pop and have a quick chat with the porter, see if the porter was aware of anything? I mean, it could easily be that the porter, you know, there was nobody there.
Of course. Of course, sir. Would you care to speak to him now?
If we could.
Certainly. He will lead you back. Yeah. Leads you back there. Some sort of intelligence roll? Anyone? Go on.
Thanks for that.
So I just feel like it's something reasonably obvious you haven't asked me.
Oh, yeah.
So, 48. Oh, I've got 60. Yeah.
No, I've made it times five.
Yeah, sounds good. So, you were speculating about him potentially chasing someone or being chased. You haven't asked me whether there was sign of another person.
Well, I want to ask. I'm going to ask one of the chaps as we're walking quietly towards the porters. Just ask Kettering if he was fooling about with another woman. He obviously won't speak in front of me.
And we've checked.
And then I'll wander off.
When Alberta looked, so she'd have spotted any different footprints. So
she would. She would have. Yeah. So this is as players. You have not really asked that, but yeah, you haven't seen any sign of, you know,
other footprints,
another person. You know, enormous hoof prints. You know, charred patches, anything like that.
No, I'm also.
Well, there might be some charred in the sound.
I understand the thing about another woman. I can't help feeling that they'd never have got away with it for very long if she was that violent.
Well,
but, yes, perhaps the Reverend would be better asking that, because it might disarm the fella if it's a question put from a very innocent source, as opposed to me going, hey, was he, you know, nudge.
You reached the porter's lodge. Alberta, what are you doing?
I'm walking along behind the chaps while they have this conversation with Kettering, just having a look round.
Yeah.
What time of day? It's morning, isn't it? So it's before lunch
morning.
Now. There you go.
You will... I mean, you're casting out things. You will notice. The lawns, generally, there's quite a lot of trampling down. There's various holes in it. There's some yellowing in the grass. It doesn't seem to be part of the broader track that you've been following. So, but, you know, there's obviously been... something going on here.
Okay.
Moles?
No, they leave little hills.
No, I mean, asking out loud.
The lawn, sir. It would be the fate, sir.
Ah.
For May Day. It's always held here at the hall.
Might I ask, was there anything untoward happened at the fete? Any argument, perhaps, or anything like that?
Not in the...
Indeed.
The prize marrow.
Prize marrow? And where
it's
did
always
that
a marrow.
It turned out to be a giant courgette instead. Sorry.
Hang on. This green's coming off. It's purple. The damn thing's an aubergine.
In a small town such as this, these matters can become rather excited.
Indeed. You'll understand we're considering the possibilities of a reason somebody may perhaps have wished Sir Ashby harm.
My dear chap, I've seen the ladies of the Flower and Produce come to blows over marrows.
and but, indeed with them.
I know the vicar has did speak to some of the competitors beforehand. There were some unpleasant rumours. It's something of a recurring source of argument. The prize marrow has been in recent years,
and allegations of cheating, perhaps.
There has been some unpleasantness cast about in certain quarters, and I regret to say, Reverend, certain people have been gambling on the outcome to quite considerable degree, I believe.
Dear, oh dear, the very worst kind of gamblers. Vegetable fiends.
Down at the Crow and Moon, we don't have horse race or anything of that kind here. So, I believe quite considerable sums of money have been expended on the matter.
Nothing Sir Anthony himself would have deigned to be involved in, I'm sure.
Well, no, but he was, of course, the judge of the prize marrow. Amongst the other prizes,
Were any of the losers particularly out of sorts when the result was announced?
There was a certain amount of remonstrance, I believe, from some of the more forward persons.
We may need to take those persons' names so that we can have a word with them and get their view of what occurred.
Of course. I mean, the favourites. It was rather an upset. So the favourites, Colonel Farnby and Mr. Yates of the Sundries. They were both pipped at the post, if I may say so, at the last minute by Mrs. Beverley. Rather a dark horse, and I'm not sure anyone had placed funds on her. So. The landlord of the Crow and Tavern is Crow and Moon is undoubtedly quite pleased with that outcome.
Right, I'll be honest. This is not the direction I was expecting this potentially supernatural mystery to take. A disgruntled champion marrow owner is the front runner at the moment.
Was that fortune teller, of course?
The fortune teller.
Oh yeah, the fortune teller.
And which was this somebody dressing up, playing the part?
Madame Gorba, I think they said. A Persian lady, of some kind.
Persian.
I believe
someone from the nearby area who was. Merely acting the part, then. It was a professional, as it were.
I couldn't say, sir.
Do we know who was the organ? I mean, was it his lordship who actually organised the fete, or, you know, in other words, was he his staff who did it, or was it?
It would be the parish council, sir. The
parish council.
Yeah, the Reverend Reverend Wallace.
Excuse me.
Mr. Chalmers, of course, the curate, with some assistance, of course, from the Colonel, Sir Ashby, and others, other personages. I believe the Reverend is responsible for the bulk of the organising, which is to say, obviously, probably the almost certainly the ladies of the church do most of the work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I hope somebody's taking note of all these names, because I'm not.
Don't worry.
Reverend. Okay.
So we need to see the clothes. We need to speak to the porter.
I'd like to see the body.
Yep. Porter. Here's the porter. We knock on the door. Hello, Kettering. Sirs, madam, excuse me, can I be of some assistance?
Yes, my good man. Were you in when his lordship made his last fateful walk from the summer house to his doom?
Most unfortunate. So we were all, of course, very, very distressed by his lordship's passing. I'm afraid I was likely already asleep at that time. I rise very early, sir, and I make it a habit to be in bed perhaps 7 o'clock in general. We don't have any deliveries after that time and very rarely any visitors.
So is there an actual sort of... Is the gate... So is he basically kind of by the gate and that's where he'd be opening and closing, or...?
That's a good question. So that's a driveway. Yeah, basically. Yeah.
So the gate would normally be closed and he'd be the one opening and closing the gate, etc.
Yeah, if necessary, yeah.
Yeah.
And otherwise just, you know, doing various...
Is he talking things normally? I would not assume he's particularly deaf or anything like that.
Doesn't appear to be, no. I would...
So if Sir Ashby had been calling for help, he would probably have heard it.
Oh, well, I should think so, sir. I mean, you know, they always rings the bell or knocks at the door if anything's required. And I'm a light sleeper, I would say, sir.
So why didn't he hammer at the door?
Because he couldn't get to it. But why didn't he shout out?
The footprints do show that he walked up to the door, as far as I can see.
Hmm.
And then turned around and walked away.
Hmm. And that was after he'd basically started being the human pinball.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, we should probably... perhaps we should go and sit in the summer house and go over what we've got so far. Let this fine fella get back to his business. Oh,
thank you very much.
Bring us some lemonade.
Of course, ma'am. And
sample
of tobacco, of course, sir.
Thank you.
Yep, Catherine will head off and do so. He will return within a few minutes.
It is the most impractical layout of a garden I've ever seen.
Mm.
I mean, there's no shortcut to the summer house at all.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Mm.
Kettering will bring you some lemonade.
Right. I'm just going to have a look around the back of the summer house.
Mm-hmm.
I presume it's a little bit hard to tell from how that's illustrated. Does it open onto the path, or is it open?
Yeah,
right.
It opens onto the path. The back will be just a wall surrounded by the trees, and then there's big windows at each side. So, you know, you can see.
Yeah.
But
just want to see if anything was anybody was around, obviously around the other windows or around the back of the place.
Yeah. There's big police type footprints to a certain extent, but there's no, you know, I mean, perhaps not very thoroughly, but they've certainly tromped around a bit. There's no obvious sign of anything being
okay,
you know, awry.
Well, should we consider I suppose the evidence I beg your pardon?
I'm sorry, what now? What was that?
Sorry, I need to put the phone on silent because that's basically my noise that you guys are sending messages. So,
okay,
right.
I'm not sure who's sending the message.
I feel somehow.
No, it's on Morton. It was.
It's Nick.
Yeah, but I just feel that noise—it's somehow slightly demeaning.
Really?
Don't you think?
Yours isn't.
What's wrong with mine? Right. So we've got an apparently perfectly okay man.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. We'll go over what he did during the day a little more, but he seems to have been fine, acting at the very least in accordance with his usual manner, and he doesn't seem to have been a man prone to doing anything wild or zany.
That's perhaps the least appropriate adjective. Yeah.
He goes out to his summer house, and he's there for a while. He smokes a reasonable amount of tobacco, but he doesn't smoke it quickly, so he's certainly not got nicotine sickness or anything, but he wouldn't hallucinate from that. And then something either drives him out of the summer house or prompts him to leave, perhaps to see what is outside, quite quickly. He doesn't put his reading glasses back in the case, and the book is dropped on the floor, or perhaps put on the side of the table, and it falls as he leaves. So he didn't leave in the manner that he expected to, or when he expected to. He left his hat behind.
Left his hat?
Hmm. And his pipe.
Well, yeah.
Actually, that's a thought. Have a look at the pipe. Is there any tobacco in it? Because it wouldn't continue to burn down. It would have gone out once he'd stopped.
There is the remnants of, as if probably the third pipe, you would say.
Yeah. So he hadn't completed a third pipe, which would suggest he might have been expecting to be there a bit longer.
He saw something, present or not, and went. It looks to me as if he was perhaps trying to stalk it, but going in various directions, and later on he started running.
Or did he go out to see what perhaps there was a commotion or a sound or something he saw through the window? And then in going out to find it, he then finds himself confronted with something that he runs from. We then start to hit little problems with either of those, whether he's either trying to chase something down or run from something. His actions by the porter's house.
Yeah, because it looks like he should have knocked on the door from his footsteps.
If he was following something and trying to catch up with it,
it went into.
Why would he have gone to the porter's house? I mean, he may have been about to ask for help and changed his mind because he thought he'd lose sight of what he was chasing.
But these are not the paths you would take if you were chasing an actual thing, a stray dog and an intruding local or whatever. You would.
No, I think it's got to be something unusual, something really unusual. It the way he's sort of gone through hedges and so on, it makes me wonder if he was seeing multiple things that he thought were trying.
Does he
to
collect
attack
insects of any sort or?
What, well, you think he was chasing like a butterfly or?
Yeah.
When?
You'd have had to be a bit of a fanatic to go to that extent when you look at some of the things he went running through.
With that, in that first formal garden, where he goes up to whatever that sort of semicircle is at the top, what actually is there?
Is it a statue by any chance? The semicircular thing. No, it's just another arrangement of plants. It's like a fan.
Plants. It's just a fan of plants.
Yeah.
It's just that's the first time where he's kind of zigzagged a little bit beforehand, but that's the first time where he doubles back on himself.
Well, no, the first time appears to be right outside the summer house.
Yeah, that's almost like he's going off in one direction and then realise he's going in the wrong way. But that second time, that's where it starts being, and that's really where, well, I mean, he's already walking through.
You see, I think you can also interpret it as, from the summer house, he's perhaps trying to run away from something, he may be.
Well, he's not running at that point, is he?
Well, he's just starting out from there, but he's trying to get away from something at some degree. He heads along what would be the shortest possible path back to the hall, but then does something force him to turn around and just run off the path. You know, you could interpret it, I think, in several different ways, and none of them are entirely satisfactory for particularly what starts to happen afterwards, unless he was definitely stoked. Not seeing what was there. More than that, he'd have to be panicking, particularly as it moves on. I mean, look at the situation, just by that sort of fan-shaped area you were saying in the formal garden. Mm. He goes up there, he cut across, straight through the trees, cuts across through the beds there, goes up to those plants, and then he leaves. But if he was just going to turn around and leave, why didn't he just run down the entirely straight path? Instead, he's off in the flower borders again, yes. And then goes out through the exit. So, he's totally erratic there. There's nothing... It's not even the path of least resistance or anything like that, or the shortest path to somewhere.
I don't think this is running from, even. Unless it were just a complete delirium.
Well, yeah, exactly. Could it be multiple things, and that's the reason he's changing direction? He keeps thinking he's trying to escape, but runs towards something because he's just conjured it up again.
So there are certain points where, so for example, when he leaves the first formal garden, there's a more or less solid bit of hedge there, which he seems to go around the edge of on the way to the porter's lodge. And then when there's a break in that, he pushes through some roses or something there. And then again, in the bottom middle part, that's the wall of the garden. The wall or fence, and he sort of walks up to it and then follows it along and then turns away when he hits this set of trees. What that's worth.
And then actually goes across the water feature of all things.
Mm-hmm.
How deep is that?
Not very. About a foot deep.
So he wouldn't have had to swim.
Nah.
It's going to be like a paddling pool, isn't it? They usually... Yeah. I mean, we know Kettering would have had to swim because he's only about a foot.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
And then he goes all the way into that middle section. And the other thing is, if you look at the porter's lodge and then just below where he goes and doubles back slightly... Now, why would you do that? Is it because you've suddenly spotted a way that you can perhaps force your way through? Or is he going to, on these occasions, where he sort of goes up and back, which he does a lot, just a little way, is he touching something? Is it like a sort of a point he's got to reach, or a thing that he's grabbing? He wasn't found with anything that anybody's mentioned.
But you can examine that bit if you want.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a look at, is he purely moving to that point and going back, or is there something about those points that he's doing something? I don't know what. I'm just trying to think.
I mean, is there anything in the ground or any sign that there was anything there?
You can wander back and have a look.
Yeah, let's have a look through just above the Italian gardens and over by the porter's lodge.
Yeah, so that bit just below the porter's lodge, where there's that... Yeah. Pushing through the roses there. It does look like that
roses,
is... some. I think it's roses.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't make a specific note, but...
No, I'm just thinking it's not an easy thing that you would choose to charge through.
No, perhaps not. It does look like the point where he's actually pushed through is a slightly easier gap to push through, perhaps, than what you might see further down.
But the area where he sort of turned back in order to do that, is there anything there that would suggest it was other than just he looked back and decided, oh no, that's going to be the quickest way through?
Nothing you can particularly see, no. It seems more likely it was, oh, that'll be easier.
And again, when he gets to that circle of pond and then cuts down, is there anything... again, he has to go across flower beds?
Yeah, so there's
get to that circle.
So what that is there, you've got the little pond fountain thing there. And then you've got round it, you've got these slightly oddly shaped, you've got essentially little round, you know, topiary bush things. Mm-hmm. Is the outer part. And then the inner part it's like sort of low box hedge, and it'll be one colour of box hedge, and then inside it, the border's one colour, and then inside it, another bit of box hedge. Mm-hmm. And then the round part is different coloured flowers.
Okay.
So what he's done is he's traipsed across the border into the flowers, and perhaps picked some of the flowers, you think, maybe?
That was a question I was going to ask. Is there any evidence that he's picked particular things?
Yeah, there do seem to be, if you have a look, there's some broken off stalks and things which look like perhaps he picked some.
I'm going to be making a sort of rough sketch of the area and a view, with a view to really kind of producing what we're actually looking at here.
Yeah.
To see if anything about the shape that he's traced out makes me think he was doing so, you know, is it like a sort of a ritual shape in some way or something?
Well, you
like
think
that.
He might
but
have spelled out a bit of a rude word there, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, obviously what he was aiming for was a giant cock and balls, but he's gone way off mark.
Very poor spatial awareness.
Yes, but I mean, I can see when I've got that sort of jotted down, it doesn't really add up there either.
Yeah, you follow these round a bit. Sorry, let me check what are the...
There are like two places where he actually follows the obvious bit of path.
Mm-hmm.
Which tells you that he's not following a human being. Could it have been some sort of... I can't see it being an animal. There's no prints.
But no why... Tracks. And anyway, why would he go charging off like this after an animal? He's got staff, for God's sake.
You'd chase a unicorn, wouldn't you, if one appeared?
No.
As you follow the... down to the sort of southeast part, where it's someone running pretty much helter skelter, you would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you've really got, you know, bits have been, there's small branches snapped off. There's, you probably find a few loose threads where his clothes have caught on something. And actually, if you look at the wall here, there are some races that perhaps suggests someone trying to scrabble over it, and then perhaps giving up and running off in the other direction.
Hmm.
But this is his house. This is his garden.
Yep. His garden, yeah.
It's almost like he doesn't know his own place, know his own...
I must contend that the balance of his mind was disturbed.
Yes, because if he was simply trying to escape...
Reverend, I think he was off his trolley.
If he was trying to escape from a real thing, there are several places he could quite easily have got a much easier route and left, well, got out. So I think that's not it. He's not trying to escape from something that was actually there. So he was either pursuing something that was there, in which case whatever it is has taken a very peculiar roundabout route, and if that's the case, why do we then get him trying to scrabble over the wall or something, assuming it was him who did that? It really does seem to point towards,
Alberto, we're definitely sure that this is definitely just his tracks and his tracks alone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like it again. There's you can really clearly make road out where the police have
stomped
occasionally stomped around a bit, but
I can't say they've followed the whole track round.
No, they clearly haven't.
Similarly, I mean, you wouldn't stop doing the regular garden maintenance for a week.
No, there's been, you know, there's some effort to avoid it, but you know, go.
Well, it's a very good excuse if you're the sort of person who likes to avoid it. And then he ends up, well, clearly backed into a little bit of a corner there. And
not a good way to go, I feel.
And either his stamina gave out or he couldn't see a way to make it past whatever it was. And then perhaps knowing that he's trapped, his heart gave out.
Mm.
So in that case, we move on to, if we have a working theory that he's perhaps, his mind is unbalanced, he's hallucinating, we would need to think what would have caused that. And the most obvious thing is some sort of
parsnips.
Poison, some sort of parsnips, yes. Are you sure?
Oh, parsnips terrify me.
They terrify you?
Oh, yes.
Do they cause madness or anything like that?
Well, you show me them in the mess and I'm on the table.
So we can discount parsnips, as Sir Ashby Phipps, as far as we know, was not a loony.
Any of you botanically inclined?
Oh, good God, no. I don't do that sort of thing. We've got staff. I mean, really.
Potter about the occasional garden, but I don't have any relevant skills. So.
Wait, give me a knowing thing sort of role.
We don't have education in this.
What is
97!
Brilliant.
78. I don't think I know anything relevant here.
Well, I can try a roll.
I also rolled 49.
Is this an intelligence roll or is it?
If that seems that probably reasonable. Yeah.
In that case, yes.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you haven't spotted fox loves, which is content. You know, haven't spotted anything that you know is definitely poisonous. Foxgloves will be the most obvious contender for some sort of apoplectic fit, heart attack.
But not for hallucinations.
Not for hallucinations, no. There's not a poison garden or anything here.
No.
No poppies or anything?
There might be a few poppies.
Yeah, but just a poppy doesn't.
A poppy's not going to be a problem.
It's got to be the right poppy and it's got to be kind of processed
it's
in the right way.
It's got to be big and purple and you've got to put loads of alkali through it.
Don't try this at home, listeners.
Apparently. I'm lying.
Well, you might want to garnish it with something else, but yes, lime would be lovely.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
Let's get away from how to make drugs.
What would you like to do now?
Sit and drink my lemonade.
Yeah. Got some lemonade?
Are you sure you want to do that?
Yeah.
I'll sit and observe.
Yeah. Do you have a pipe, Mr. Howarth?
Yes, I think. Would you care for a fill of mine?
Okay.
I'm certainly not going to be trying.
Well, speaking of which, you do have a small jar of Sir Ashby's. Kettering has been very thorough and has brought you three small jars, one from each of the.
Ah, right, excellent. Smalls. Let's let's carefully take a small sample of each out and put them down. Don't know if he's. They're probably going to be. Now, is he going to have them rubbed already, or is he? Is it going to be plugs? And well, anyway, I'll take.
I rely entirely on you for this expertise.
God, I got something I actually know a bit about.
Pipe consultant,
but nothing useful.
Edition, obviously.
I really only know about contemporary pipe smoking. So,
ah.
Right. Shocked.
Well, I think it would more likely have been bought in a plug at this stage. I don't know if ready rubbed was a thing.
Well, you can, you know,
you'd be keeping it in a jar to try and keep it moist.
Airtight, yeah.
So let's cut a little bit off and have a sniff, try and get an idea of the sort of variety or blends he's dealing with, how strong they are.
So one of them will be, none of them are, you know, deep fug. One of them will be moderately strong, the other two are fairly mild, you would say. It looks
not the classic burning manure pile.
No.
Something the porter has, I'm sure.
Oh yes, absolutely. Just when he opens the door, a cloud comes out. You would say that the stuff you found in the evening pipe was one of these two mild blends.
If only we were detectives who could look at the ash piles and work out whether something had been added to it.
Yeah. And at a sort of tentative sniff, I mean, they don't smell off or anything. You know, there's not any of that, you know, the sort of bitter scent or sour scent you'd get if something might have gone mouldy or, you know, been...
Right. It may just be my incompetence, but usually I find there are one or two unburnt fragments, and again, they can look consistent with...
Yeah, exactly. So that's... Because you remember, you've still got half a pipe in there.
Yeah.
So. Yes, it may be that I'll have to try a small amount of this and see if it starts to have any effect, in which case I trust you all to hold me down. So, let's...
There will be a tobacconist, of course, in the village.
Well, there will. I'm not going to smoke up all of it. I just want to see if this particular lot...
I mean, if you want just a small amount, I mean, I do have some papers.
Some papers? I can smoke a small amount in a pipe, man. I don't need to act like a barbarian.
Well,
why not just roll it up in a page of Bleak House, which would actually be the first decent use for that book?
Also, right. If it's cut for a pipe, it doesn't roll well. I mean, you can, but it doesn't work well.
Yeah.
Right. Let's try lighting that. See if any unusual. I can't picture it being too odd a flavour added to it, because he's gone through nearly three pipes. So, I'm just trying to pick up...
Presumably he was quite familiar with how smoking a pipe caused him to feel.
Well, yes, and you would expect a man of his sort of habits probably had the same varieties of tobacco every time he went and got an order.
Mm.
So he'd know what they tasted like.
You're certainly getting a certain amount of that vibe, yes. A stage.
Still, I'm going to try it, and I'll try a little bit of each one, just to see, do I start to feel any difference, anything unusual, any odd little blurs out the corner of my eye, or twinge of paranoia, or, you know, desire to fight the man, or whatever it might be.
You could spend a little while experimentally smoking. Worse mornings have been passed. It's quite a pleasant smoke, you would say. The third one is a bit more potent. Maybe this sort of thing, if you know, for winter, or, you know, you're having a bit of a cold, you want something to cut through it a bit more. But, they're perfectly agreeable. You don't feel any particular strangeness.
Well, not entirely scientific, but that would seem to suggest that these at least were not tampered with. That doesn't rule out the fact that the contents of his pouch may have been, or his pipe could have been. It could have been something. Mm-hmm. That's a point. Let's take the stem off his pipe if it is a removable type.
Oh yeah.
See if anything's been put in there that would then. The equivalent of sort of having water go through a lead pipe gets lead through. You can put inserts if there's enough room. And he might just think that he's getting a bit of a bad draw.
Cunning. Alas, I did not think of that.
No, okay.
But what to store up for a future scenario?
No, I'm expecting this to be something a little less mundane than a kind of Agatha Christie. Right, so what we're really doing, I think, is marking off some of the more obvious things. Yeah. But
I presume I'm fine from the lemonade.
It's good.
Good lemonade.
It's good, yeah. Not too sweet, but, you know, enough to, you know, counter the sourness of those lemons. It seems very fresh as well.
So what do we think is the next stop? Should it be the... disgruntled Marrow fans, or
I want to see his clothes before we go talk to anybody else.
Right.
You return to the house.
The body, do you think?
Yes.
So, you return to the house.
We go back up to the house, and that's probably a good time to stop. Really, I'm really sorry. I'm really tired today.
It's fine.
You're allowed.
Good progress.
Really?
Or have eliminated
We've run
something.
All over a garden and drunk some lemonade.
You've reached at least one useful conclusion.
Yeah.
Possibly more.
The lemonade.
I mean, the one that frustrates me is that none of us have any sort of gardening skills or whatever, because, I mean, I've seen the thing saying greenhouses and I was thinking, oh, might be worth having a little look in there and see what's growing. But we wouldn't know it from Adam anyway. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
There could be some tomato plants with not very big tomatoes, you know. But
anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brilliant.
And we'll I'm having
see
tremendous
what
fun.
Happens in the next episode,
and hopefully Nick will be able to join us next time. Oh, and actually stay for the full episode.
Yeah, third will be the charm.
Well, I'd hope so, yeah.
So,
please.
So, hopefully, next Tuesday.
Right.
Yeah. I think you should be fine for that.
I should be around for that, so it should be good.
Okay. Yeah. Can't see any problems.
Ta-ra for now.
Okay.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.